listen to a really good song, I start nodding my head like I'm saying yes to every beat. Yes, 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 this rocks. And then sometimes I switch it up like, no! No! Don't stop a rocking!
Every Friday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. You can't possibly find it funny anymore. It's been years. Let it go.
Here I come.
morning, everyone. Hey, what's up? Welcome to your Friday morning indie wake-up call right here on CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. That was Defense by Panda Bear featuring the iconic Cindy Lee. And this is another chilly morning here in the city of Kingston, but at least, unlike last Friday, we don't have something like 50 to 60 centimeters of snow in the forecast. Last week was, it was a snowmageddon between the extremely kind of icy and horrible Thursday and then the snow bomb we got on Sunday. Safe to say, we're all done with winter at this point. And I think we're all a little cross with, Punxsutawney Phil, Wyarton Willie, any of the magical enchanted groundhogs that said we'd get an early spring. Let's hurry it up. It certainly doesn't feel like it. That's all I'm going to say. Let's hope the rest of February and the start of March is a little friendlier. Let's hope February goes out like a lamb and March, doesn't come in like a lion. That's usually how it's been, but I think we've got the inverse going on now, so I'm hoping March will be a nice kind of temperate, beautiful start to spring like we saw in 2024. But that's enough looking back. Let's look forward, and some things you can look forward to on the broadcast today. We've got music from Pole, we've got music from Men I Trust, we've got the new Pup. We are actually doing some pretty fun stuff today where we're going to double up a lot of our next couple releases. So we'll have two Pup tracks in a row, two Destroyer tracks, just having fun doubling it up where I can. Speaking of Destroyer, we'll have the new Destroyer release, Hydroplaning Off the Edge of the World, which, certainly sounds like the title of a Destroyer track. I'm pretty amped up. With the weather being so cold, we've got a nice mix of hot, fresh new tunes and some comfortable favorites to guide you through this Friday morning. Hopefully, it's been going well so far, and hopefully, that stays consistent for the rest of the day and into the weekend. That's enough from me for now. I'll talk to you again in about 20, 25 minutes time, but for the time being, this is Pole with Leia, right here on your Friday morning indie wake-up call on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca.
Thank you. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present It's Not You, a new single by local alt-folk artist Evan Jackson. The track started out as an exercise in facing that deep resentment that builds up over time, staring into a mirror. It's inspired by artists like Gillian Welch, who tell it like it is, with a Tarantino-esque guitar flair. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream It's Not You by Evan Jackson on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us right here, right now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
It's not you, it's the thing that you said, it's the fire you left at the side of the bed. It's not you, it's the face that you make again, so unafraid, like there's nothing at stake. It's not you, it's not you, it's not all about you. Hasn't been, never was from the start. It's not you, it's not you, it's not just about you. In the end, you're the muse, not the art.
Bruce Kuwabara celebrated Canadian architect and the mind behind Agnes Reimagine, the new home of the Agnes Etherington Art Center, is this year's Francis K. Smith Lecturer in Canadian Art. In his talk, Catalyzing Change, Kuwabara presents several recent projects that explore the themes of art and community and the insights he gained working on Agnes Reimagined. Join us on Thursday, March 20th at 6 p.m. in Grant Hall for this exciting event. Tickets are free, but please register by visiting agnes.queensu.ca.
It took me a while to let it sink in.
Turn the TV on, but the thoughts won't Hey, CFRC listeners. In celebration of International Women's Day, local icon Miss Emily and the Kingston Music Office are hosting an International Women's Day showcase on March 7th at the Broom Factory, with support from your friends here at CFRC. Experience a showcase celebrating the remarkable talents of women and non-binary artists in the Kingston community. Miss Emily will be hosting the night with feature performances from Clara Smallman, Julia Finnegan, Kyra Daniel, and Savannah Shea. Stay for the fireside chat exploring songwriting, creativity, and the challenges of navigating the music industry as underrepresented voices, as well as a showcase of women-led businesses in the Kingston community. It's sure to be the event of the season. Doors are at 7 p.m., and tickets can be found at ticketscene.ca.
What does existence mean to you? Collective Reflections, Queen's University's anti-oppression magazine, invites you to share your voice for Volume 12, Existence. From identity and resilience to celebrating cultural heritage, Collective Reflections welcomes poetry, short stories, essays, and visual art that showcase your unique perspective. Submissions are open now and due February 9, 2025. Let your creativity shine and be a part of this powerful collection. For questions or to submit, check out the AMS Social Issues Commission Instagram at Social Issues Commission. Don't miss your chance to be featured in Collective Reflections Volume 12.
Heading towards a conclusion, dying for a conclusion. every person I meet in love with a gun club. Merciless husk floating on an ocean on the surface of the King of France. Thousand yard stares at the menu and grins from this angle in a certain light. Bets are off on every goddamn thing. It's all the same thing under a certain light. Women fill out, men crumble inwards. There, I didn't want to say it, but I did. My life's a giant lid closing on an eye. It's all the same thing in a certain light. It's all the same thing in a certain light. But we live in the light. It is exquisite, it goes through you. Through your legs. God is famous for punishing.
We're back. Hey, what's up? What's happening? It's Jesse. It's your Friday morning indie wake-up call, and it's just a shade before 8:45 here in the city of Kingston. And we just finished a nice long music block that included two tracks from Destroyer, Bologna, and Hydroplaning Off the Edge of the World, two tracks from REM, both of which coming from their debut album Murmur with Laughing and Shaking Through, and two tracks from Puff off their latest album Hallways. We heard Hallways and Paranoid. Prior to that, we kicked off the music block with Leia by Pol and Men I Trust with Husk. Great little music block there. I was really, really digging that. And admittedly, yes, there is sort of an odd man out in that set of music, which is REM. Why did I play two tracks from 1983? Apropos of nothing, to be honest with you. However, I just was listening through their discography again. It's perfect background music for me because it's very familiar. It's stuff I've heard a million times, and I'm just struck by how timeless their first album is. You could say the same about their second and even arguably their third, but their first album, their debut, Murmur, released in 1983, there is just this timeless quality to it. It really feels like it could have been made at any point in the last 40 years. It feels like it could be made at any point in the next 40 years. It was just something magical in Georgia in 1983, and that album has just stood up so well. And you can hear a lot of where certainly the alternative genre would come from, with the jangling guitars and the harmonies and the almost indecipherable songwriting. It's an album that's both a product of its time, 1983, a remarkable year for North American music, but also something that transcends, honestly, even genre barriers and time. It really is a pretty much perfect album, and it's one that would have an immeasurable impact on college radio, on what would eventually become the adult alternative genre, and I would argue also on indie as a broad genre as well. So I always try to shout it out where possible, and those two tracks, Shaking Through, Laughing, I think they are the high points of that album, neither of which were the singles, which I think speaks to the overall quality of the project, where two songs kind of buried in the middle of the album are two of their most enduring songs ever. Check it out if you haven't listened to Murmur. There's multiple releases and remasters. The remasters are quite good, but I do recommend the best way to listen to it is the way I listened to it the first time, on like a bootleg CD that I found in a discount section in some thrift shop. It was perfect. It was incredible. The graininess and the poor sound quality, I think, is the way it was meant to be consumed and enjoyed. While we're on the subject of 1980s nostalgia, I must confess my guilty pleasure of the moment is the Netflix series Cobra Kai, which I remember watching a little bit of when it first came out and essentially going, yeah, I like fighting, that's cool, but the teen drama aspect, you know, obviously is not for me. But with a new season coming out, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try one more time. I want to see if I'll latch onto it. And I have. And I think that's because I do not take myself as seriously as a person. Because the best way to enjoy that show is to completely shut your brain off. Because the second you think about any of the plot developments that happen, it's done. It's over. You're finished. You cannot enjoy it. This is, if you are unfamiliar, a kind of like requel retread of the Karate Kid film franchise. And it might be a surprise to people to hear that the Karate Kid was a franchise because people only ever talk about the first movie, which is, yes, a piece of 80s cheese, classic retro nostalgia. It's pretty amazing. It is maybe not a very good movie, but there's a lot of heart to it, and there's a lot of iconic moments, and the soundtrack is also so schmaltzy and 80s that it has a rightful place in the hearts and minds of many. What people forget is the series continued after that first movie. In the second movie, he goes to Okinawa, and he gets into a death fight with a random Okinawan young man. The third movie, I really don't remember at all. And then Hilary Swank is in the fourth one. And then the franchise died and was not touched for the better part of 30 plus years until it was revived by Netflix and given this update, this modern coat of paint. And your mileage will vary. But I do just absolutely love how the second adults are introduced into the plot, which is about half the plot. Only half the show is based on the lives of the new high school kids who have adopted the powerful, incredible healing and destructive power of karate. And the rest of it is like, Ralph Macchio all grown up, who played Daniel LaRusso. William Zebka all grown up, who played the bully Johnny Lawrence. And they're trying to navigate life in karate. And it's just so funny to think of someone in their mid-40s who cares so sincerely about karate to the point where, like, they are willing to engage in full-scale dojo war and not just, you know, call the cops. So, it's a bizarre show. It's a very strange show. There's a lot that could be read into it. To me, and this is looking at it with 2025 eyes, a lot of the stuff involving the high school where, like, there's these big mass violent incidents of, like, karate fights in the hallway really does kind of read as a very clumsy, and maybe this is controversial, like a very clumsy metaphor for America's, you know, school violence problems. And the fact that the second season ends with a mass karate incident that nearly kills somebody, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, something about this, and I don't think it's their intent at all to make a statement about, you know, the rampant culture of violence in American schools. And I don't mean hand-to-hand combat violence, I mean gun violence, but it certainly comes off that way, and it also just adds to the absurdity of the whole thing, where it's, I think the funniest thing to me is the second season ends with this mass karate incident, and the third season starts, and this is also, like, so horrible. Because this is like a real life occurrence for many American high school kids. It's like the third season starts and they've got, you know, security guards checking people's bags, which is something that happens in a lot of American high schools because they're checking for knives and guns. Just to reiterate, they weren't doing this the season before, and what motivated them to start checking bags was a hand-to-hand karate fight. So I have to wonder, what are you looking in their bags for? Are you hoping to find, like, shuriken, like ninja stars or nunchucks? It's just very silly, and because it's so silly, but the images are so applicable to what life is like for the average American high school student, it creates this very absurd, dark comedy that I don't think was intentional, but I can't stop laughing at, like, 80 security guards searching through bags a week after a karate fight. The weapons are at the end of their wrists, guys. You can't take their hands away. So it's, that to me is, I think, why the show is so iconic, because it is the perfect blend of, like, 80s nostalgia juxtaposed and, like, great grafted onto real world American high school life. And at least in the 80s, there was a genuine karate mania, so you could understand how American high school students would be caught up in the momentum, the wave. It was like a huge cultural thing. But in 2025, nobody does karate. If somebody's doing martial arts, they're doing MMA. And the show just has not acknowledged the presence of MMA in any way whatsoever. Very, very fascinating. Alternate karate universe where, yes, there are mass violent incidences at American high schools, but rather than it be, you know, with weapons, it's with karate. So I've just been wrapping my head around that and having a great time. I will say the music, for me, is perfect because it's also got that, like, 80s updated but still retro synth aesthetic, which I personally love. So my karate... Jeez, Karate Kai. Cobra Kai karate TV show review. Turn your brain off. Enjoy some of the fight choreo. Enjoy the music. You'll have a good time. If you think about it for literally more than 1 second, it will take you out of the experience. And yes, it is still so utterly bizarre to see very stark real-world imagery of security guards searching, you know, backpacks for weapons, juxtaposed against the fact that these are all kung fu karate fighting kids. Just very, very strange. I can't wrap my head around that. It seems way too stark for the actual subject matter at play. All right, that's enough of me rambling on about perhaps the dumbest TV show of all time. Let's get back to the music. This is Japanese Breakfast with Orlando in Love.
Yeah. to somebody.